You are now listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Simon Fraser University in Burnaby, British Columbia. We strive to provide perspectives that are rarely expressed in mainstream media. If you'd like to know more about us, check out our website at cjsf.ca.
Almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. Suds. It's time for more Suds.
Welcome, everyone. Here we are for another Suds segment where you can choose your own beer or listen to the good old boys and go. If you choose not to decide, you still have made a choice. Who writes this stuff?
It's like William Shakespeare.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, we're already banned somewhere.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, I'm one of your hosts, good old gal Juliana. Joining me at the table today is good old boy Kendall.
I'm glad I chose to be here today. Exercised my free will.
No ding, no.
He gets a ding.
Okay. Good old boy Carl, welcome back.
It's like time has stood still since we've last been together.
Oh, I love that. That's so ding.
You know, you're cheapening the ding. If everybody just gets a ding for everything they say.
But they're great.
I can't.
You should.
No.
Good old boy Paddington. I mean, Sparky, how are you?
I have elbow patches and I can't follow those two. That was awesome.
We are so proud, though. You look great.
Thank you. Like, he does.
Yes. As always.
Good to have Sparky back.
And then there's good old boy Dave.
Yes.
My nipples are always hard.
It's true. I didn't have a rush joke, so I just...
Yeah.
Okay. Well, speaking of rush. So a couple months ago, good old boy Dave and I were up in northeastern PA.
It's all PA.
No, it's very divisive. Visiting family, and while we were there, you know, as always, we shop for beer, which we do every time. So we happened to go to a place where the store owner told us about a dinner party that he had recently featuring some beer celebrating the band Rush. I mean, a Rush dinner party. How cool is that? Well, of course we had to buy some and bring it back to share on the show.
In 2021, after learning that Iron Maiden had started making their own beer, the guys in Rush decided they couldn't let those little British biatches be the only game in town. So Rush partnered with Henderson Brewing Company in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, which I'm pretty sure is right down the road from Toronto. Rush Canadian Golden Ale. Building off that success, Rush and Henderson's have expanded their collaboration to several new beers, including the ones we will be tasting today.
Oh, wow. Okay, good old boy Kendall, would you please give us today's lineup?
And don't rush through it. Just take your time.
You got it. The Rush beers from Henderson's Brewing Company we'll be tasting and discussing today are the Rush Canadian Golden Ale, Signals, a 2022 limited edition Belgian Golden Strong. Also from 2022, Moving Pictures, another Belgian Strong Ale. This one's a dark version. And finally, Xanabrew, a Belgian Strong Golden Ale. If we have time, we might have a bonus beer.
Xanabrew. I figured that would be one they would make with Olivia Newton-John.
You know, right?
Right. Yeah.
The Rush song came first.
Okay, fair.
Yeah, that's fair. Yes. Okay, good old boy Sparky, why don't you give us the suds ratings? And please, go ahead. Go hardcore. Go strange brew.
Okay.
Go whatever you want. As Canadian as can be.
All right, you hosers. We'll be discussing and rating these beers and these suds ratings, plus our signature belching sounds. Here are those ratings now. Oh, that sucks. Give me anything but a Labatt's. Was that a belch, eh, you hoser? Ah, what a relief. I'm sorry about that. The dry cleaner got all the gravy stains out of my Canadian tuxedo. That's what I should have worn today, as a Canadian tuxedo. 4. Oh, body really should not make that sound, even after 4 servings of poutine. And 5. Listen to that hang time. Give me another Canada Dry and Rye.
Canadians make good rye whiskey, dude. Well, I don't know. And I like Canada Dry. It's good.
At least you didn't have any references to Canadian bacon, because that's a sore subject.
Mm. Yeah. It's not bacon. Yeah. I don't know.
It's not even ham.
See, I go back to the days of Molson Triple X. That's my jam.
Wow. I hear about your dubious lifestyle choices.
Hey. Well, anyways. Okay. Well, let's get into it. So the first beer that we're going to go into is nice little can here. It is the Canadian Golden Ale. And it's a rye golden ale, 5.5% ABV, pours a gorgeous old gold color as opposed to a new gold color.
Sure. A tarnished gold.
Yeah.
I mean, gold is the new black.
It is.
Okay, fair. Yeah.
It smells weird.
It does smell weird.
Yeah.
It smells like homebrew. Do you know what I mean? Like, but you know what I mean, right? Like,
yes.
There's definitely
smells familiar in that regard,
right? Like,
sort of maybe marginal sanitary conditions, or
I'm not picking up anything really off. It's just, I know what you're saying. Maybe like a fermentation character.
Yeah, it's got that like that sort of back end yeasty smell that I think oftentimes homebrew, you're talking about something that has not been filtered or pasteurized, so it's been moved from the fermenter directly to a bottle or directly to a keg. And so I think a lot of times you get that kind of yeasty characteristic. Also, if I didn't realize it was rye until you just said it, Juliana. So I think that rye carries a very specific aroma too, I think, on non-hop forward beers.
Yeah, and it's like heavy rye too.
Oh, yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, it's right there.
Yeah, really getting
it. And it stays.
On the palate. You get that spiciness. It just kind of lingers. Really, it's light, but it's there.
And it just stays on your back palate for forever.
And this is 5.5.
5.5, yeah.
Flows into the bitterness, nice piney bitterness, a little foresty.
Yeah, yeah.
But it drinks well. Mm-hmm. I think it tastes good.
Yeah, I didn't think the smell lined up with the taste. I thought, when I smelled it, I thought, I'm not going to like this. And then I tasted it, and I was like, oh, yeah, all right. I get this. I like it.
Sure. Yeah, I could see myself cracking a few around Thunder Bay.
Kendall, what would you pair this with?
Ooh, don't say poutine. Think about that.
Don't say poutine.
Yeah.
Canadian bacon.
Yeah.
Nice.
Something that would pair well with the spice and the bitterness. And if I'm trying to stick Canadian, I'm really having a hard time finding it.
You can go south.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm guessing some kind of a meat, like a grilled meat or something this would go well with. But yeah, venison. That would probably
sausages.
Work.
Sausages.
As long as they're not too fatty, I think that might clash, but they can be good.
Yeah. I mean, is Canada specifically known for their cuisine? You know what I mean? Like,
like more so Montreal. I mean,
they did give
Quebec
us Maddie Madison.
Yeah.
So, like, that's a gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah.
Maddie Madison.
But he left, right?
I mean, anybody would.
Sure.
I mean, why would you stay?
Yeah.
Sorry, Canada. Did we just get banned in Canada?
Probably.
Okay.
I thought we were already banned in Canada.
Once again. Yeah. Well, we just got re-banned.
We're just reaffirming.
They were very polite and were like, we're probably maybe kind of going to have to ban you if you do that again.
No.
We are polite.
We are Canadians.
So I guess this could go with seafood too. I mean, this is probably an all-encompassing kind of beer, like with anything. You know what I mean?
I would watch what I said on the meat with some of the excess fattiness. Same thing with some seafood. It gets really oily. You get a really oily fair. Seafood, that's going to really go. But if you can find a nice mild seafood, yeah, I agree. Sure. That would work well.
Mm-hmm. It's probably a good hockey game beer, you know?
Maybe absolutely.
Yeah.
And it, Juliana didn't do justice to the can, just saying it's a Juliana. Nice can. It is a beautiful can.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Why don't you describe it
for us? Yeah, what do you got going on there?
Describe it.
Well, you tell me.
It's Starman. For those of you listening at home, it's Starman from the 2112 record. It's a golden can.
It's very old.
With a big star and a naked man standing in front of it saying, oh no.
Naked butt.
Don't land on me, star.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Because we have assumed control.
Sure. Very good. Very
wow.
Good.
All right.
See, true Rush fan.
He knows his stuff.
No, I mean it is a nice can. It's very tasteful, I guess. You know, like I've seen some rock cans that are just before. Anyways, okay. So, what shall we rate the Golden Ale?
Yeah. I'm with Kendall. I'm a 4-2.
We're gonna go with 4.
All right.
All right. Kendall, is it safe to say that you are a Rush fan?
Probably not as big as Carl, but you know, I love the band. I've seen them live. And Moving Pictures came out when I was 13 years old, so that's easily my favorite record. Even though I'd argue it, I probably have others that I enjoy just as much. But it's that impact of the time in my life when it hit. Can you imagine when Tom Sawyer comes on the radio when you're 13 and it's the first time you hear it? You're like, this is amazing.
Your mind is blown.
So, always loved that album. Like some of the newer stuff too, but I'm just a fan in general. Neil Peart was a motorcyclist, did some amazing adventure riding, and I'm just a big fan of that too.
I didn't know that.
And have you read his books, the Ghost Rider books?
I have not, but I've seen the motorcycle. It was on display at the Hall of Fame in Motorcycle Hall of Fame in Ohio.
Wait, there's a motorcycle
Hall of Fame.
And I don't know if his motorcycle is still there, but they had it featured at one time. It was cool.
Are all of the Halls of Fame in Ohio except for baseball?
I have no idea.
No. The Boxing Hall of Fame is in Canastota, New York.
Oh.
Yes.
For what that's worth, all of you listening, get out there to Canastota, precisely in the dead center of nowhere.
Okay. Big fan of the guys.
All right, we'll be back with more in just a minute.
Clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the line of a rising, glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Welcome back, everyone. Today is a Rush tribute, if you will.
Sure.
Or Rush Day. I don't know.
Well, let's hurry up and get to it.
Oh.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, fine. Okay, so right before the break, we were talking to Kendall about his, how do I want to say it? Like, what Rush means to him.
Yep.
Now, Carl, what does Rush mean to you?
I've got a lot to say on this matter.
I'm sure he does.
Well,
an entire
do.
Segment.
So, well, I'm going to start with this. So, when my youngest two were in elementary school, we got involved in a carpool with some folks who lived around the corner. And their son is the same age as my youngest daughter. So they were kindergarten through fourth grade together. And so every morning I would drive over there and pick him up and then drive to school. And then they would drive the kids home, which worked out great. Like, sure. It's easier in the beer business for me. It's easier to do drop off and whatnot in the morning. I oftentimes have stuff going on in the afternoons. That's when people are out drinking.
Yeah.
So anyway, so come to find out that both the parents grew up in Toronto.
Dun, dun, dun.
So, nice.
I was like, oh, how cool. And of course, the first thing I say is, you know, well, you must love Rush. This little snot had never heard Rush before.
What?
So I was like, are you like,
really?
You are going to have to turn in your citizenship cards.
Yeah.
Both of you. That's, like, you're not allowed to be Canadian.
It doesn't seem possible.
So every morning we would listen to Rush in the car. Nothing but Rush.
Yeah.
And this, we don't drive carpool with them anymore. And this has continued. So this has been going on for probably 7 years.
Awesome.
All we listen to is Rush every morning on the way to school.
That's cool.
Nice.
So I probably, just by virtue of this, probably listen to more Rush than any other band that I listen to currently, just sure. because every morning.
That's every day.
That's your default ride music.
Yes, exactly. We get, I mean, and it's always shuffle. So, you know, shuffles up YYZ. Okay. Well, maybe I get one track on the way in.
Okay.
But, you know, I'm thinking two or three Rush songs a day.
Yeah.
Is nice. Kind of my general intake.
There you go.
I think you mean YYZ.
Why is that? And so I've got this sort of long ongoing relationship with Rush that I've been able to involve my kids in as well, which is great. I think that they have grown to love them in the way that I do. And so I think that what really draws you in, at least what draws you in, is the music, but what keeps you is how quirky and strange they are. And, you know, the more you read about these three guys, you know, Geddy and Alex Lifeson grew up together. They were, you know, friends in elementary school and are just these two, like, goofball guys. It's a very strange sense of humor, almost British in their approach to humor, very dry. And then you have this savant drummer, Neil, who comes in after the first record and... Then they say, you know what? If we're never going to break up. Like, they were together for 40 years, these three guys, which is, you know, genuinely sort of that era of music is gone. You know, like once the Stones hang it up, like
that's it.
That's it.
Right? Yeah,
that's never happening.
No,
Keith Richards will live forever.
He's basically pickled himself.
Yes. Yeah, right.
Yeah. He's very well preserved.
Sparky, you do a lot of the carpool duty, right?
I do, man, and it's sad because
duty.
it's sad because we used to have, like, you know, we used to have a no cell phone policy, and we used to all, like, everybody would submit their songs, and we build these playlists, and I'd, you know, sneak in my songs and get the dad music in there going on. But now it sucks. They're all on their earbuds looking into phones, and they're automatic silence. It's sad. They won't even let me listen to NPR. So I'm just like trying to start conversations. So how about the weekend, guys? Nobody? No takers? Okay. I'm going to shut up and drive you to school now. Goodbye. But I have a weird relationship with Rush, because when I was in college, I lived with three percussion majors.
Oh, wow.
No way.
Yes. And I was a music major for a minute, too. And two of them were really good. And they had a shrine to Neil Peart in our apartment.
Yeah,
right?
Of course.
Yeah.
However, one of our roommates, Ryan, was basically the gimp of the group. Like, he was, I don't know if his parents had raised him in a shell or something like that, but and he really had no, like no cultural knowledge whatsoever. And so we were always just ruthlessly, like, punishing him, because, like, Ryan, you idiot, you, how do you not know who Neil Peart is? You're a drummer. How can you, like, have a drum set and not? And so it was just, we were constantly abusing him. But that was always one of my great joys, was just abusing Ryan for not knowing who Neil Peart was. And then, and then, like, you know, 10 years ago when Rock Band, you guys remember that whole, like, music game setup thing? Dude, I had, like, this huge setup, you know, the wireless mics, guitars, like, $300 drum set, all this other stuff. And every nightly party, like we'd have dinner parties, would always devolve into hours worth of Rock Band, which would always, there was always somebody that would just rush all the time because it's a lot of fun to play. Pretend, not for real. But
sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Nice. Now, Neil was a beast. I mean, a beast. And his kit. Oh,
good Lord.
Oh, my God. Sorry.
Insane.
Sorry. Like right. The Time Machine tour. Like, I don't know how many of you saw that tour, but the kit was like steampunk. It was beautiful. It. Sorry. Okay. Anyways. All right. I'll get to me later. Let's get into another beer, shall
let's
we?
Let's do it.
Okay. So let's go to the Signals 2022 Limited Edition Belgian Strong Golden Ale. Only 11.9% ABV, in case you're wondering. So this was their third in their series of premium Belgian-inspired beers. Signals is the classic Belgian blonde with Riesling must and cold.
Thank you.
That's what it is. Yeah. Okay.
I was like, there's something. Is this going? Yeah.
Thank
this
you
turn?
For saying that. Yeah.
You are so welcome.
Okay, thank you.
So it's giving you aromas of stone fruit, peach, maybe mild spices. Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And this release is all the more special for them at the brewery because the fire hydrant that adorns the album cover was manufactured almost a century ago, just 100 or so meters away from the brewery.
That's cool.
So there's that.
Meters.
I'm really glad that you said there was grape must in there because I was...
You were
I was
like, what is this?
I don't know if I want to talk about this, but yeah.
Yeah, no. I had the turnt thing like, well... Some of that tastes like a Belgian club.
Yeah, it might have started out as a Belgian.
Acetaldehyde.
Yeah,
it was apple-y.
Getting the apple and even almost a little tartness, like not sour, but there's something going on here.
Uh-huh.
And that now it makes sense. Yeah, it's beautiful. Ooh.
And it's, it is, right? And it's interesting because when I first saw, okay, golden hair, let me get my head wrapped around, like, you know, and then tasted it, I was like, whoa. Like, certainly this isn't... like bad packaging or, you know, and I was thinking, oh crap, maybe this is a bad beer, but no, it is not, even though it's not
exactly
normal.
What it should be doing with those.
If this was a straight Belgian golden ale, then yes, it would be turnt, but
it's very wine forward.
Yeah.
I would say.
Yeah. For sure.
I mean, Getty's a big wine guy, big collector and wine consumer. So that
tracks
really shouldn't surprise us, I guess.
Yeah.
I like this.
Well, yeah, I was picking up some raspberry. Weren't you? No.
Yeah, right?
Yes.
Because Mike hates raspberries. Yeah. But anyways.
I mean, who doesn't?
Right.
I've been doing this January thing. I don't know if any of you are following along at home. I'm part of a little group of people, and we each kick in 3 bottles of gin, and we do dry January. So I try a different gin every day of the month during January.
Wow. Why weren't we a part of this?
We're taking applications for Splinter Cells now.
Okay.
But anyway, so the last night's gin, some of the botanicals were peach and raspberry.
Mm.
And
really?
It was really not for me. Hmm. Like, I'm a London Dry guy.
I'm a London Dry guy, too. Matter of fact, some of the American style stuff just really...
Yeah. And I mean, I'm open to trying, like I'm interested to try different stuff. And this one was just really, I mean, it's very subtle in its application of raspberry, but you know, I let the kids smell it before I taste it. Of course, I'm not letting the children drink it, but I'm like, hey, what do you smell when you smell
sure,
this?
And
they need to grow up learning what good gin smells like.
Yeah. And they were both like, this smells like raspberries. Is there like bubble gum or something in it? And I'm like, no. Anyway,
sadly,
I'm not a big raspberry consumer.
What country
either.
Did that come from?
I don't know. I'm gonna have to look it up.
Okay. Wow.
I think it's Holland I'm pretty sure it was Dutch.
Okay. Okay.
That's flashing me back to the gin episode where Mike like made us taste 100 gins. Like, no, don't hold your heart. That was tough.
But it introduced me to Spanish gin.
That's true. That was worth it. That was worth the cost of admission there.
Yes, that I'm like forever in love with Spanish gin now.
And there's so many like great like tapas style places now that are popping up around town that really kind of focus on that. So
I know, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
And now that we can actually get some Spanish gin in town, by the Alchemist. Oh, so good. So good. Okay.
This is not a gin show.
Sorry.
Squirrel. On our latest sips episode.
Side quest.
Good old boy Dave, what do you think of the beer?
Well, now that I know what it is, I really like it. Yeah, it makes sense. A lot of the peach notes come out really well. So, yeah, I can wrap my head around this beer a lot. 11.9%. Probably wouldn't drink a lot, but.
Yeah, I can't feel my molars anymore.
Oh.
Well, you don't need those.
You won't. Yeah. You don't need those. Nah, no.
Yeah.
This is beautiful. And this is a thinking man's beer, if you will, to go along with a thinking man's band. Like, I think it's really nice, if that makes any sense. What shall we rate this beer?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure.
All right. We're going to rate it a 4.
Is that like a 5 in Canada?
Maybe. What's
the conversion rate there?
Yeah. No exchange rate. Yeah. So.
Almost even right now.
How many loonies were each one of these cans?
Good old boy Dave, what is your exposure to?
Oh, I don't care for Rush. No, I'm just kidding. No. So we were talking about it earlier, Carl. It sounds like Carl and I kind of came in to Rush right about the same time. Roll the Bones was the only time I've actually seen them live, and that was one of the first albums that I really got into. Great show, great live band. Then I went back, you know, and kind of listened to their older catalog and stuff. Their newer music before they, you know, before Neil passed and then they kind of dissolved everything, I didn't really keep up with it. So I'm more like early catalog up into early, you know, early 90s is where I kind of flow.
Yeah, it's funny. Unlike Iron Maiden, where Bruce left and then Bruce came back.
Yeah.
And that segment of records where he had just come back, I'd kind of poo-pooed and then came back around to it and was like, all right, these records actually rip. Rush, I think their catalog gets dropped in for me into buckets where it's two or three or four records that have a very similar feel, and then it's a change. And the change that happened after Echo, like Test for Echo, is sort of the beginning of the final bucket. It was Test for Echo, Snakes and Arrows, Clockwork Angels.
Yeah,
they're tuned down. They're just like we talked with Iron Maiden. It's a reflection of the time. So they're like a little they feel heavier. The tuning is lower. Of course, Geddy can't hit a lot of that screamy, shrieky Led Zeppelin stuff that he was doing in the 70s. Then that kind of lost me a little bit too. Like I appreciate them for what they are. But you know, I'm just a slut for a pop hook, and, that era of that sort of, after Permanent Waves, like you roll into Grace Under Pressure through, Counterparts has much more pop approachability, I think.
Like almost a mainstreamness in the, you know, scheme of things.
Well, I think like even like well-established bands, they still feel the pressure to follow kind of like what's going on, and that doesn't always really fit their strengths.
Plus you have to change to stay relevant. I mean, two of my favorite bands, both from the early 80s, Metallica and U2. I mean, they've had so many different sounds. Metallica not so much, but they've definitely gone through a few phases.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh god. Yeah. Like when the Black Album came out, we all thought that was so different. The end had come. Yeah. Well, I mean, sellout. Sorry.
Well, and I think people want to evolve as artists too, you know. To a degree, but
not a lot of people can do that successfully too. I mean, there's a handful of groups that can really, you know, stay relevant and make those transitions.
Yeah. And those are the bands that are still around.
They're like 40 years, or, you know, for the Stones, like, was it 107 years they've been playing?
Yeah. Since 1873.
Yeah. Yeah. it's hard. And, you know, like the Stones actually have a pretty new song out now, and it's
album.
Yeah, yeah, we listened to that record and I was like, okay, I guess I'm trying to wrap my head around this. Like, and they're wanting to be current, but I don't feel it.
Yeah. Just go back and play Street Fighting Man right now.
Yeah, and just be done with it. Anyways.
Sorry, I stopped passing the bottle.
No, that's okay. So the next beer that we are going to talk about is Moving Pictures or Moving Pitchers. It's a 2022 limited edition Belgian strong dark ale, allegedly.